Okay, we're holding today on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, and we're about to begin the sugya of Ad Heichan Chut HaShidra. Six lines up from the bottom. Ad Heichan Chut HaShidra. So the question here is, we know that the shiur of the Chut HaShidra is, we determine that it's, first of all, it's a reference particularly to the or around, not to the moach. And the question is over there, if you have a tear, if it's nifsika, so then it's a trefa. But the question is, the chut hashidra itself obviously continues on all the way till the end of the tear, in a sense. In other words, the nerve endings that you can trace from the brain down to the rest of the body, if it happens to be a continuation of the chut hashidra, because it's going on the same direction, we're not going to call it chut hashidra. The chut hashidra is the place in which you have the central and most important nerves that are running along the spine. So the question is, until what point do we view that particular place as being critical, and at what point do we view it already as being local? Because there's always going to be nerves that continue on locally. Says the Gemara, the shiur is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel ad bein haparashot, until the division between the place where the cord divides. Now, there are many divisions of the spinal cord that run down the side of the leg and continuing across the rest of the animal. Obviously, the most fundamental that we're worried about over here go through a bone, which is called the sacra, the etzema parashot. If you take a look here, you have three holes. You're on page 56. Okay, this is the sacrum bone. We'll take a look at the actual spine as a whole in the page before. And that's over here. If you take out all the organs, you're left with the animal hanging by its legs. So then if you look, you don't even have to look very carefully, you could see very clearly three bundles of nerves that are coming up the side of the leg. There's nothing in the way here. If we've taken out everything. No organs. I think this is a deer they took, but it's the same thing. This is page 55. This is a close-up of the overall picture here, where you can see the deer hanging. There's no organs. You can see here's between the legs, and here's the spine. Where the spine comes near the legs, the spinal cord splits three times, major times. And that's called the parashot. The bena parashot sounds like it's the area between the splits. The splits themselves being the parashot.
But
this is, the green area itself is magnified here. You see very clearly, one, two, three. Right? This is towards the tail. So you can see these nerves. Now, these nerves basically become the most important nerves that are running down the thigh. And this becomes the Gidan Asher and so on, which we'll discuss all this later. So the question is, somewhere along here, and this is part of the Chut HaShidra itself, part of the Shidra itself, is the bone that we have trouble with in humans very often, the bottom of the back. But there's... The sacrum bone, is that the same? Yeah, that's what they call the coccyx.
No, the coccyx is what is in the middle.
Yeah, no, this is lower than that. This is the low...
It goes to the legs already.
Yes, this goes to the legs.
Coccyx would be over here, I'd imagine.
It's what we call the tailbone. I mean, it's in the human. That would be after the... That's after the Chut HaShidra, completely. I don't know, it doesn't show it here, but... The nerves of the spine carry on down the legs, as you, I'm sure you've often felt. But the question is, what point does it have a din of this in terms of halacha? What point does it have a din of Chut HaShidra? So I'd been up on...
Chut HaShidra, the nerves itself.
The spinal cord, is the nerve. Correct. It's not a nerve, it's a bundle of all the nerves. Yeah. It's a cable. many, many different nerve
ring. About higher up the back into what is called a cauda equina. Here it seems to continue on as a nerve, but then breaks into fascia.
So Omer Aviram Rashmo. So where is it? Ad ben aparashot. Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak avikoboyim lemeiz el beichuzai. Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak, who wanted to go move away from the yeshiva to beichuzai, when had been learning by Rav Yehuda. Ata lekame to Rav Yehuda. Amar lelichvi leimar ben aparashot hecha. Before I go, I'd like to learn from you precisely where the ben aparashot are. Amar lezil aiti legidi. If you bring me a gidi, the Achvilecha, I'll be able to show you. He was in a rush. There wasn't time to actually take an animal and to dissect it so he could show him exactly. So he was looking for an animal in which, without dissection, it would be evident, like in the picture that we just had over here, which you could just look at it and you could clearly see where the nerves were branching off of the Chut HaShidra. So he went and he brought him a Gedi. Aitile Gedi Shemena. They were obviously by a slaughterhouse. He brought him a Gedi Shemena. Omar lei, there's so much fat on this animal. Bliatve velayadia. In this particular animal, I would have to dissect it, and there is so much fat around here that I can't see it without dissecting it. And you're trying to catch the bus. So I say le kachu. She went and he brought him a very thin animal, thinking that would be a solution. Omar lei says this is even worse. Blitantve. Over here, this animal is so thin that the bone of the pelvic bone is pushing all over the place. I can't tell precisely where the nerves are. There's so many other things here, and they've been flattened against him. Look, bottom line is, your bus is about to come. Tag Marcha Gemara. Let me just tell you what the Kabbalah is on this. Achyor Meshmo. Ad Achat Trefa. Shlishit Kshira. Shniyah Eniyodea. So up until the first parasha, it's definitely trefa, because that's pure chut. From the third parasha on, it's definitely kshera, because that's a local nerve. Shniya eni yodeh, I don't know what the status is of the second parasha. Now, this itself is quite vague, because we don't know what he means by ad. Spoy Ravuna Breda of Yeshua, when Shmuel said ad, did he mean ad viad bichlal? So when he was saying, in other words, starting from the brain and continuing all the way down and including that first break between the first and second of the parashot, which he's calling the Ad, the Bena Parashot Ad. So until and inclusive of the first parasha, so that would definitely be trefa. Or does he mean Ad v'lo Ad b'chlal? So in other words, he's saying, look, if he would be saying shlishit, any idea, then the shlishit is vada kosher. The implication would be that before it would be included in the any idea. But if he's saying ad v'lo ad b'chlal, Rashi's bothered by the fact that the any idea actually would begin at the Rishon, because he's saying up until the Rishon. And then anything past that. So why did he say only Shnia in Yodea if he would have meant Ad Velo Ad Bechlal? So I should just say, the truth is that Shnia in Yodea just wants to make it clear how far down in Yodea. And I was saying, I don't want you to think that I'm including in my Vadai Kshera anything that's after the Ad Velo Ad Bechlal, if it would be Ad V'Ad B'chlal. My suffix is not just that first area of the Ben HaParashot until the second one. My suffix would begin at the Ad V'lo Ad B'chlal all the way through the second one up until the third one. But it doesn't mean that I'm not mesupik about the V'Ad B'chlal area of the first one. So in other words, the suffix would begin at the first one possibly. But that's what we want to know. Odilma Ad V'lo Ad B'chlal. Boy, Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, even if you've determined that, there's still a lot of things that aren't clear. Let's say that it means ad, velo ad bichlal. I didn't even know clearly what is meant by the word bein haparashot. Does bein haparashot mean the area between the two splits? Or does bein haparashot include the area of the split? Even that's not clear. In other words, maybe bein haparashot, the two parts coming out on either side, are parashot, and the bein haparashot is between them. What does it mean between the two areas of the splits themselves not being called Bein HaParashot? So I'd still have to know, even if Ad V'lo Ad B'chlal, how about the Pi Parasha itself? Mal, what about the Chut HaShidra in the place where the nerves are branching off themselves? The first one. Is that already the Vaday that's included in the Ad V'lo Ad B'chlal? Because, after all, the V'lo Ad B'chlal means, and I'm not sure about the area between split A and split B, but I certainly know that the area within the split itself is considered to be part of the Ad, even if it's not the Ad B'chlal. So even that isn't very clear in Shmuel. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah said, if you say it the other way, it is clear. Even if it's Ad V'ad B'chlal, how about the parasha itself? He hasn't established what the din is about the actual nerve that's branching off. How about if that's pulled off? Let's say that it means Ad V'ad B'chlal. But is the branch nerve, if it's torn off itself at the chut, what would be the halacha? Is it considered to be a damage to the chut, or is the actual place where it connects not part of the chut? He didn't deal with that either. Okay, this is how Rashi learns. The truth is, Rashi himself brings another lashon in which the parashota references to bones, to neged which the chut would be. He doesn't like that for many reasons, and this is the chat that he suggests we remain with, the one that we learned. Tosfos, even agreeing that the reference over here is entirely to nerves and to nerve branches, has other ways of learning what you would mean by the Pi Parasha and so on. But this is fine for us so far. So Mahu Tashma, it says HaParasha Tidon Kibasar. What was the Pshat Tidon Kibasar? In other words, the Parasha itself is simply like meat, which I assume means, my love, Parasha Rishona Ushnia. Doesn't that mean that the actual parasha itself, even though the chut itself, afterwards I said, that's a suffix trefus. I'm not sure about that until the shlishit. But when it comes to the parasha itself, there's no question that's just plain meat. Same way you're not worried about cutting a piece of the muscle, don't be worried about cutting a piece of the nerve. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Maybe that is a description of shlishit. In other words, he wants to make it clear that when I said Mishlishit and onwards, it's kosher, I mean even the parasha itself, Mishlishit, but I wasn't necessarily referring to the first two. So this remains now standing. We're not sure what the definition is. Ba'ufa, now all of this, of course, is in an animal. How about in a bird? So Rabbi Yanai says the shear in a bird is ad lamata min ha'agapayim. Reish Lakish Omer ad bein agapayim. So over here the question, there's by the way an important machlokes as to what is meant by agapayim in which you. The pashtas as we're talking about over here, the wings, when you're talking about the bone that we're on page 57, if you have yours, you're talking about the what bone we mean, it's the gaf. Agapayim is the two gaf. Now the gaf, the pashtus is the what do you call that in the when you eat the wings in English? No, I'm saying it in the popular term for the small part of the wing when you're eating a bird. Whatever the smaller part of the wings that Rashi learns is the reference to the gaf itself. In which case he's talking about the chut ashidra, which would be on the upper part of the bird, bein agapayim. Others learn the gaf that's a reference referred to over here as the scapula, which is the bone that holds basically that it carries the weight of the bird where it's attached, the wing is attached all the way down. That's particularly a bird. The scapula goes much further down than the gaf. So, yeah. So, that would bring it all the way down to here, where you see this dotted line. It's a dotted line at the end of the scapula that you put here, black dotted line. Okay, so that would be much more chomer. That means if there's any break all the way down to there, it's also considered to be ben parashot. Omar Ula Havakaimna Kameda Ben Pazi. I, says Ula, actually was sitting there while Ben Pazi was going to do a bedikah on an oath. Vahaitulakame ofa. They brought an oath that had a problem. Ubadaket ad ben agapai. And he checked, and he only had gotten to check until the end of the agapai. And v'shalach le'd ben asiyat. Somebody came running in with an invitation to the Beit HaNasi. And he got up on the spot and left. V'kam v'azal, v'lo yadana, I'm not sure if it's because he held imishon d'lo tzorech l'mivdaktvei. Is it that he held you don't have to go further down? In which case he was saying like Reish Lakish and Zdavka ad bein hagapayim, not l'mata min hagapayim. Omishim kvod nesia. Maybe he really felt he needed to be bodek more, but he wasn't going to. He's going to wait, keep the nasi waiting, get an invitation, I'll come back later, and I'll check it. Fine, so we're left with this machlokas here. Nitla hakaved. Now this is something, the next piece of the Mishnah we discussed earlier, and we saw that there was a stira between the Mishnah Rishayna, the Elu Trefot, and the second part of the Mishnah, which is Elu Ksherot. And here in our Mishnah it said, V'lo nishar himena klum, mashmaha mishtayer himena klum kshera. If anything would be left, the tiniest amount, the liver would be kosher because it regenerates. Apagav delo havi kizayit. Mashma would be, doesn't have to have a particular shiur of a kizayit. And yet the Mishnah later of Elu Ksherot says, Vatznan, Nital hakaved v'nishtayer himena kizayit kshera, which is only a kizayit. Omer Rav Yosef lo kasha, actually, we know that it's a machlokas whether the liver has to have a larger piece or whether it's not that sensitive. Now, one lashon is which Rashi says I don't like. Rabbi Chiya would throw away an animal that would not have a kizayis left min hakaved. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe would be matpil, he would eat it. Matpil means to, you know, dip it in a dip. Whatever they ate by dipping. Rashi says, we never find that lashon used for Isser V'Heter. You're throwing it away or dipping it or eating it. I mean, even though we will see, we want to use that as a simon later on to who holds what. But it's unlikely, says Rashi, that this is a direct reference to Yisr V'Heter. He says the meaning of the Gemara appears to be whether they ate liver. Not that kashayla on an animal. So all it's saying is that Reb Chiya used to throw away the liver. He did not hold of eating liver. And Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe used to be matzila. He would eat chopped liver on Shabbos. So apparently he held that even though it's not really basar, but he held, as the Gemara says elsewhere, we saw Lagabe Reitzah Sheyavri Yachtov Kesayit from the Beit HaShchita. Kol Chai is Machzir Chiyuta. So apparently he held that it's important in terms of the Chiyut. If he held it's important in terms of the Chiyut, then that means that he holds you have to be makbid, that there should be liver there. It's a davar shanashamat liyabo, and it's very choshev. So mamela, if you don't hold that it's so important, you don't eat this stuff, so then you're fine. So it's not necessarily that you have necessarily kezayit that it should be able to regenerate. It's enough that there's something left of the river, of the liver. And so in other words, it's an indication of how significant you find the liver to be. We're just using it as a sort of like a simon. A simonecha shirin mekamtsim. The richer you are, the more stingy you are. That's the simon. So therefore, Rabbi Chiya, who couldn't afford it, you know, so people can't afford things there that you don't have money anyway. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe was a millionaire, so he kept the liver. It's just a simon. You know, they always say, that's how I got rich. I never spent any money. Aupu Musa de'ata le'pumpadisa. There was this invading pulmus over here that came to Pumpadisa, and people were scared of, they were having the army come in and do a check in the IRS, and God only knows, and it's a disaster. So everybody was running out of town. So Orku, Rab of Rabbi Yosef, Rab of Rabbi Yosef were running away, and they meet Rabbi Zera on the way, Pogabu Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera shouts to them, Harukoi, hey listen, escapees, just remember the most important thing, Kezayit Shamru B'makom Mara. You know, where it's talking about the liver having a Kezayit left, it has to be near the gallbladder. You wouldn't want to forget that on your way into... there's a remez. By the way, there's a remez. You'll notice in both cases where we had the story before of going to Bechuza, right? So it was Rav Dibi Bar Yitzchak having a boil of meza le Bechuza. He was about to leave, so he asks Rabbi Yehuda, "What do you do when you come to the intersection? What's the Dibbein HaParashot over here?" The Arukoi is saying, if things are being ripped apart, as long as you have a Kezayis B'mokam Shulchaya, just keep the most important things, and you can survive. So just remember that as you're running away. So that Kezayit, it could be in the Mokam Mora. It's got to be the most bitter place. But from the most bitter place is where it regenerates. That would be the remnant. But halachically speaking, we have two Lashonos over here. One is B'mokam Shulchaya, that we just learned from Rabbi Zera. Rabada Barava mer b'makom shehi chaya, the place in which the liver is most prominently supplied with its life. And Rashi has two lashonos of it, because the truth is that the liver is strongly supported on two edges. One is by the klayot, so next to the kidney, there's ligaments that hold the liver in place. And then you have against the diaphragm, which, by the way, Rashi always learns that's the tarpas, is that's called part of the liver, even though it's really because the liver is so mu'ura in it. So according to him, that's the yotera takaved, even though the diaphragm has nothing to do with the liver. Diaphragm essentially is a muscle and tendon division between two parts of the body that allows the animal to breathe. Because in contract, it creates a partial vacuum. Creating that vacuum, air is pulled into the lungs, and then when it's pushed out, then the lungs themselves don't have any muscles. They're simply a vacuum machine. So as long as you pull out, then air is pulled in to the lungs. It happens to be that this, the entire body, obviously, to create a vacuum, the entire body has to be covered by this tarpash, has to be covered by this diaphragm. Against it, it's very thick and muscular. Against it, you have the anchoring of the kaved, among other things. And therefore, we have two different pshatim in what b'mokam shi'chaya means. Rashi brings both of them. Omer of Papa, yokach b'inan kizayit b'makom mara, u'b'inan kizayit b'makom shi'chaya. Therefore, alokal amayis, if you're going to have enough liver to regenerate, then you'll need not only a kizayit next to the gallbladder, but you'll need also a kizayit next to the diaphragm, next to the kidney. And I think that there were pictures of this also. Maybe not. Maybe yes. Maybe somewhere I thought I saw a picture. Got a picture? Ah, see, these are much nicer pictures. That's not fair. That is really not fair. How do you like that? Okay, here, well, at least you have B'mokam Mora very clearly delineated here in the drawing. I don't know why they don't put these drawings here.
It's just a little harder to see.
No, you don't have it here. They're not showing you that this is the wrong side. This doesn't show the Mora.
Yeah,
I understand. It doesn't help us. No, this is the gold button. Oh, on this side. Here you go. On page 59, yeah. So on page 59, they have basically the same thing. Yeah. So 59, you see the diaphragm in back. Then all of that white is a complete covering of the lungs, separating them from all of these other organs. The liver here, you could see on 59 on the bottom, is connected to the diaphragm in the back, and you see the gallbladder hanging, which is the green in this picture, in the drawing. See the gallbladder hanging, and that would be the Mokam Shichaya. So it's very, very different places. Now you need to have both, halach halamaisa. Kezayit of both, yeah. Incidentally, this was a rather recent discovery that the liver regenerates. It's only like 100, 150 years old. They always used to think that the liver couldn't regenerate, and if something was wrong with the liver, forget it, you're dead. I guess they had experience with drinkers.
How many times did they have that regeneration that you're talking about, like, with the
sphincter? Yeah, I mean, what do you mean? You mean you think accidents are a modern phenomena?
No.
And wars are a modern phenomena? They had plenty of experience with injuries. Boy Ravash. Boy Rabirmia. Mitlaket Mao. When you say that there needs to be a kezayit, how about if there's not a kezayit in one place, but you have kezayit of tissue, that if you put it together, you would have a kezayit? Or kiritsua Mao. How about if you have like thin tissue, but it's a long and thin, so that it forms the same area of a kezayit? Tekuf. Oh, sorry, I skipped. The boy Ravashi. Kezayit merudad mao. I don't know if there's a kezayit, but it's been compressed and pressed. Take on all of these, we leave it lechumra. Boy menei Reb Zika mirabami nidal de la kaved. How about if the kaved has been torn and it's sort of loose, but it's mu'ura betarfashe. It's still connected in the tarpash, which is the diaphragm. What's the din? Oh, Marley, I don't know what this is. What do you mean, dildul? What is that supposed to mean? In your damn mouth. Fact is, it's still, you're still saying it's still attached. So if you have then the attachment, b'mokom mara ha'ika, ilamad b'mokom shikhaya ha'ika. So why are you asking? What makes you think that it's significant in any way? You still have a kezayit to both of those locations. Even if you would view the dildul as missing, what's the difference? If it'd be cut out, it wouldn't have made any trouble. So why is this a bigger problem? And now getting on to the main topic, which is the lungs. So, Arayasha Nikva. The question over here again is, where is this Nekev? And we have found this already in numerous locations, that we have to deal with two levels in a Nekev. We have by the Kurkavan, where you have the outer muscle, and you have the inner lining. We had by the brain, we have the karma yilah and the karma tata. We had the white and the red portions of the veshet. Now, the same thing is true in a rea. There is a thin, glistening, looking almost like part of the tissue of the lung, lower membrane. And then there is the thicker covering of the lung. So we have a machlokes. Rav Vishmuel Viravasi, the Amri, karma yilah. So Rav and Shmuel and Ravasi said that the meaning is over here, the upper membrane. Va'amila karma tato, where others say that you also, Tosa speaks this out, because otherwise the Gemara later on won't make sense, you also need a tear in the lower membrane. Omer Rav Yosef bar Menyumi, Omer Rav Nachman, the way Rav Nachman puts it, who holds that we're talking about the lower membrane must have a hole in it to be possible. Simanecha kituna devarda de mancha balreya. The way to think of this is the beautiful rose-colored kutonet that the lungs sit in. By the way, you'll see a lot of remuzim in this sugya to elements of Yosef, because this is reya, this is connected to reya. As the Gemara says later on, and that's Ashureno or Ashur, right? That's the element of Re'ia of Yosef. That's why we're looking over here for Vered and the, you know, Vardimus was also Banamizar de Yosef Kasina. We find exactly the same thing by Esra, which is a Remez also the Tzaddik, exactly the same Lashonos, where it's Inke de Hirea de Iglit Kahina Sumka. You have exactly the same question by an Esrog, and Esrog the Iglit Kahina Sumka. It's very strange. A lot of issues over here. Okay, that's the Od Yosef Chai, by the way. It's connected. There's the element of the Yud Ches Treifus, Torov, Toraf, Yosef. So the Chai of Od Yosef Chai is a remez to all of these issues, but it's just to keep in mind as you look through the sugya, you'll see a lot of very curious things. So here we start off with like a ketonet, and if you have, therefore, that intact, the ketonet of Arda, then it's okay. Obviously, Reb Nachman holds that the requirement of a nekev is also the karmatato. Now, pshita yinkav yilo v'lo yinkav tato. Tato magin. So that, according to this, if you have a hole in the upper membrane, and not the lower membrane, so then that's what we're saying, is that the lower membrane is okay, and the lung is intact. If you peeled off the skin of the rea, and in a way that you leave it like a red date that's been peeled, you have that upper layer of the date, you peel it off, and you have basically an entire fruit. It's kosher. The question is, inkev tatov, alo inkev ilah. How about if there's a hole in the lower membrane, and it hasn't affected the upper membrane? Is that considered to be megin or lo megin? Does that prevent now a destructive nekev in the lung or not? So this is a machlokas. Pligi baravach ravina, chadamar lo magin, v'chadamar magin, v'yilchata magin. The halacha is that it's kosher even though there is a hole in the lower membrane, because the upper membrane will be megin. There's a very nice picture here of an inflated lung on page 61 where there was a hole in the lower membrane, and the upper membrane has bubbled when you forced air into the lungs, and yet you can see that the bubble is held intact so that it's sufficient to keep the lung from being punctured. And that seals the air inside, and therefore, the Zawi Paskin, that it's okay. So in other words, even though you've got air movement where it shouldn't be, and we'll talk in a moment in the Gemara of a sugya in which you hear air in a way that troubles you, something is strange. Nonetheless, if you can determine that the outside surface is intact, you don't have to worry about the fact that you've got air leakage within the lung. Ah, exactly. Kidder Rav Yosef. Diyom Rav Yosef, hai rea da afsha. If you are getting strange sounds of wheezing and so on from a lung, now what you can do, of course, is after Shita, you take the lung like a balloon, and you blow it up, and it's quite difficult to do so. So nowadays they use machines that you plug onto the lung, and it's got compressed air in it, and it blows the lung up, and it looks exactly like the millions of little balloons that are just popping all open. Instantaneously, it's a beautiful thing to watch. Everything just completely inflates if it's healthy. And what you do is like this. You don't know where that sound is coming from. You definitely hear inside. So, if you could tell where the place is exactly, so then Musfinala, Gatfo, Ruko, Gila, you could take on that spot, and any child that's ever fixed a bicycle tire knows about it exactly. Oh, that's the next trick. But if you know where bicycle tire. So if you know where it is, what you always do is you use your spit. If you're a typical kid, and see if it bubbles, or you put a little saliva on the place where it, and that's how you fix your bicycle tire. Of course, if you're a farmer, you might have some feathers handy, so you could put on a gatfa, you could put on some feathers, they move very easily. Oroka, you put some saliva on. Ogila, or you could take, you could take some chaff that's lying around in your barn. So imevatsvitsa, if it's bubbling, then it's trefa, because then obviously there's air escaping. Vilo, kshera. And if you see clearly that there's no leakage, it's kosher. The iloya dinan echa hafsh, which happens very often, so frustrating, right? You fill it up and you hear that air coming out. You're looking at the tire and there's no, you can't find it. It's a maddening thing. So what do? The old idea. My sinan techmitchal to the maya. You take a bucket full of water and you insert your bicycle tire. And over here, you put in the lungs inside this big container, and you see if there's any bubbling. Now you got to make sure that the water is the right temperature. So you need to have the maya pshure. You need to have tepid water, because mishkinah begavah, you put it inside the water. Bechaminilo, you don't want to use hot water. The kafzila, because that causes the hole to be constricted by the expanding tissues, and it stops leaking, and then you're not going to see it.
I should have used cold water.
No, Bekaririlo, don't use cold water either. Dematrishelo, because that makes the hole worse, because it contracts the tissues, and then if there was a hole only underneath, it could break through, and that's because you've taken away its elasticity. Elamusinamipshuri. What you do is you put the lung, into tepid water, vinafchinala, you blow up the lung. If it bubbles into the water, so then it's a trefa. If not, it's kosher. And the explanation of the sounds that you've been hearing is that tata inkiv, ila'a lo inkiv. The lower membrane indeed has a hole in it. The upper membrane does not have a hole in it. And haida hafsha, and the sound that you're hearing of escaping air, is the zika, the baini baini. That's the sound of air escaping into this upper bubble on page 61, where it's very, these lungs are clearly fully inflated, as you can see. They're thick, big. That's full of air, which you're looking at, spongy. And this bubble over here is simply the bubble that's come from the air that's escaped from the lower membrane. Since this is what Rabbi Yosef says, and obviously, when we said before that it's Megin, we're paskening like Rabbi Yosef over here, and Lachlamaisi showing you how to do a bedika. Gufa. Getting back now to Rava's statement. Hi, Omar Rava. Hi, Reya da Aglid, Kiahina Sumkam, Kshera. The Omar Rava Reyasha had Dimam Miktsata, Kshera. Kula Trefa. Now, if the lung has turned really red and bloody colored, so then, if it's only in one spot, it's okay. But if the whole thing has turned colors like this, it's a trefa. Amalei Ravina LaRava, I don't get this. Miktzata my time. Why are you saying that if it's only in one place, that it's okay? Because obviously, what you see here is something that is hadra baria. In other words, even though there seems to be leakage from capillaries and so on beneath the surface, fine, big deal. It's not going to cause any type of puncture in the end, so what would be the trephus of it? The only trephus that we know is chisaron or nikuva in the lungs. I'm not going to make up new trephus. So in other words, this is not going to end up destroying the tissue. It's simply going to heal like any kind of a bruise. So even if that's the case, so what's the difference if it's all over? So kulanama, hadrabari, but where are you getting this distinction? And I'll show you, I know what you're referring to. I mean, milo tanya v'sharsh katsim v'rimashim, achietse mehen dam. Now we have a halacha about the difference between the skins of shmonish ratzim, the shmonish ratzim that the Torah tells us are tamei, and other various ratzim. Interestingly enough, one of the issues is that the Shemona Shrotzim have skin, halachic skin. What is halachic skin? That it's similar to our skin in the sense that if you create a wound in it, a bruise, so the breaking of capillaries on it is a chiyav for chavola. It's considered to have broken through, even though right now it isn't broken. But what it causes in the end is breakage in the skin itself, and therefore you're chayef. And we view the dam to have actually broken through the skin, and now it's just held under the skin. That's where you see not a blister, or even a bruise. So a chavola is considered to be like a netilat neshama. Masha'inkein, other things, other shrutzim, like a frog. You can't bruise a frog. Now either it's going to break through the skin or not. So what you see over there as reddening is not considered to be a breakage. Yeah, or any of the shrutzim that have like a thin like skin. So over here, apparently, what you're saying is that the lung is it's very sensitive. This is a thin, after all. This we're talking about the agrikin, a sumka, we're talking about a very thin membrane. So you're saying, okay, the fact that we see redness there, that doesn't mean that it's going to, that it's actually broken through and it's now all like it is in our skin. It's sarur. You have the blood that's been seeping into an area and taking over that area and so on. You see a lot. It's just any small capillary that'll break is going to make it red. So then that's true of the whole thing, right? Unless you say That, well, no, the lung, after all, is thicker. That has it didn't like the Shvanishvatsim. So then, v'chitem l'shvanishvatsim v'daminen la. If you're going to compare it now to the skin of the Shvanishvatsim, where a bruise actually is considered to be a break, Titania Nitzrar Adam Hapa Pishalo Yatsa, when it comes to Shmona Shratzim, once the blood now pools underneath the surface of the skin, that's already considered to be a Chabura, even though it hasn't gone through the skin. So Yachia Fil Mitzasanami, if you hold it, that's a Nekev. Then there would be a Nekev in one place. But to make this artificial distinction of a whole lung and a part of a lung, I don't understand where it's coming from. I mean, we don't have any Mekoros for this type of thing. You can't just make up something. So therefore, it would have to be Ela Lo Shna. It would make no difference. Now Rashi says Lo Shna means, and therefore, either way, it's kosher, because it's more likely to compare it to the other Shratzim. However, it does this brings that there's a big machlokas about this, and the Rabbeinu Hanano learns that Lo Shna means, in either way, it's treifa. And we'll see later on why he views it that way when we talk about coloration problems in the lung. Another thing that Rava said was Reyashi Yapsham Mikzata Trefa. If you have an area of the lung that is hardened and dry, now obviously this thing, there's no particular psul card hard and dry, but we recognize this as being dead tissue, which for all intents and purposes is Nakuv. And even though it's not Nakuv now, it eventually it could just be ground away. And what is that shear, the kama? Omer of Papi Mishmeda Rava, Kadesha Tiparech Bitsiporin. It has to be that when you rub your fingernail up against it, that you can actually crumble the tissue. Really? So you mean that Rava was going like Rav Yossi ben Amishulam? Because we have exactly this question about an Ozen HaBechor that got dried. And there the question is, what shiur of dryness is considered to be? I have same questions by Etrog, of course. What shiur of dryness is considered to be a dried ozen bechor? So the Tanakhama says, the Tanya Ezoi of Shah, Shim Tinake Veina Motsia Tipadam, that it's dried skin, like you would have dried skin on your body in places you could puncture it, and then it doesn't run with blood. That's already considered to be dry. Whereas Rabbi Yossi ben Hamishulam Omer, no, it has to be Yavshak Tebeshati Teini Ferechet Betziporin. You could scratch at it and actually the skin would come off as dry skin. And you're saying the same thing over here in the lungs. In other words, you're going against the Tanakhama like Rabbi Yossi ben Hamishulam. No, not necessarily. Because it could be that I agree when it comes to Yosin the Bechor to the Rabbanan. And I feel it Teima Rabbanan. But Gabe Ozen Bechor, to Choshalit Bezika, Lohadrabarya. It's a big difference between an extremity that's exposed to the air that's gotten to this point. It's not going to get better. You're talking about something in the inside of the body, richly equipped with blood vessels, protected from the outside air. And over there in the lung, if it's not dry to the point where it actually is Nefrecha Bitsiparim, even though right now it's dried and won't bleed, if you puncture it, eventually it'll get better. So therefore I say, that afilatem rabbanan, gabi ozen bechor dechoshalik bezika over there, the air has control over it, so to speak, and it's exposed to the outside. Lo adrabarya. Once it's reached that point, it's not going to get better again. Avo rea, doloka shalik beavir adrabarya. It may well be that the rabbanan themselves would agree. When it comes to the lung, being as it's enclosed in the body, and the yavir isn't shorlaid on it, it would get better. V'yomar Rava, I rea the kaimi gilde gilde. If you have a rea that has a scaly surface, like scabs, gild, gilded, gilde gilde, or uchme, or it has blackened areas, unfortunately very common, or chazuta, you find in it different colors. We'll see later on what colors are acceptable. Then the fact that something is strange does not mean it's a trefa. In all these cases, it's kosher. In other words, shinuyim of that type, either in the surface of the lung or in the coloration of the lung tissue, except, of course, later, where we'll talk about colors that imply that the tissue's dead, and things like that. But normally these colorations, although they may indicate illness, don't indicate that the lung is definitely going to be nikud from it. And there's no trefa called a sick lung. There's only a trefa called a nekev or a chisaron. These things are not lukusas that will end up in a chisaron or a nekev. It's not referring to that type of gelid. It's like a shingles type thing on the skin. That we'll see, a gelid, a real gelid that we're going to get to in tomorrow's Gemara. Okay, so we'll leave buay sirchais and all those exciting things for tomorrow. Moshe Baruch, we can get us a lung that we can blow up in here. That would be very nice. Maybe you've got some contacts. We used to keep one in the freezer when we were doing this. Remember that? Were you there? You weren't part of the Chabura. It didn't last through many of deep freezing.